6:30, if you could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
What did you? $100 for beers.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart is excused. Trustee Gass.
Here.
Trustee Dennis is also excused. I would like to make a couple of modifications to the agenda and move the items 13 and 14 to item 4B. So that our council doesn't have to sit through the entire evening to be with us.
13 and 14, you said?
13 and 14 to 4B. Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone visiting who'd like to see an item move up or down on the agenda? I'm going to make a modification of that, and I'm going to suggest moving those items to 5B. Steve put in 35 years of service. He shouldn't have to wait any longer. Trustee Harris?
Is the petitioner here for item 6? Maybe we should make it 6B.
I believe she is.
Are you here for the...
She's here, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. It's going to be back to 13 and 14 pretty soon. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Harris, is there a second? Trustee Genrich, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Announcements. Sherry, do you want to take this?
I just have one announcement. The Nanny Walk is a recurring event, and that will be held September 26th.
Okay. And it's a recurring event. Never had any problems, right? Okay. And then Trustee Rafter?
The Alloway Business Association is once again hosting or conducting an Excellence in Business Award program, a career day at Webster School, and a What It Takes to Be Excellent Fifth Grader Student Essay Contest at Webster School. Both Trustee Genrich and myself sit on the committee for that, for those events. The Excellence in Business Award is, actually, I just got a note that the ballots are on the Alloway Business Association website, so any business owner can nominate a business owner for the Business Excellence Award in Alloway. Balloting will take place between now and March 23rd, and then starting April 1st through 21st, we'll have the ballots online so that the public can vote for their favorite large and favorite small business in Alloway. And then at the Alloway Business Association meeting in May, on May 19th, we will award the winners. We've done that for several years now, and it's been very successful, and it's neat how we get to learn quite a bit about our businesses. And then Career Day on March 10th, 8 professionals and local business owners in Alloway will be at Webster School to host stations around the gym and fill kids in on what they do and answer questions. And then the fifth grader essay contest is actually becoming part of the Webster School curriculum for the fifth graders this year. All of the fifth graders will produce an essay on what it means to be excellent. Those will then be reviewed by the committee, and we'll award the top six essays on May 4th. So that's it. Remember to vote. Pardon me? Yep. Did you have a question about that one? Oh, can I make one more while I'm at it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to take this opportunity for those of you who have maybe received the latest in new Alloway Buzz e-newsletter. Jenny Hannes from our staff has taken it upon herself to put together this e-newsletter, and I think this is the second one that's gone out, so in an effort to help communication, facilitate communication, job well done.
Mr. Burke?
Just a quick moment. Due to the cold weather and the depth of the frost penetration, we have the same situation we had last year. We had to place 40 homes on continuous water flow to prevent lateral freezing. So we had one lateral freeze up on Thursday, and we placed 41 homes, I believe, on continuous flow between Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that was, Mr. Rafters was one of them. So that will continue now for probably the next 6 to 8 weeks with the warmer temperatures. That's going to continue to cause a problem. So, unfortunately, we should be able to avoid having to go out and thaw services like we did last year. So,
is there any particular characteristic besides the occupant? Is there any particular characteristic of the home? Are they in low places? Is the lateral not buried to the same depth? Or what sorts of characteristics would...
It's not... Well, the homeowners pretty much know who they are, but they are service laterals that are shallow, is what they are.
Okay.
And as we've done water main projects, we've made sure that we've lowered them all of those that were too shallow, so that eliminates the problem. But there still are about 40 in the village. We did replace 3 or 4 last year with our last project. We replaced 3 or 4. So those are off the list. But they're scattered about in different areas. And we only, the water that is used, that cost is borne by the utility. However, we have to actually instruct the property owner to turn the water on. We don't offer that for somebody that just turns their faucet on and says, I'm going to run it, so I don't have freezing, because we know which ones they are, so we don't have to.
Yeah, Administrator Lane.
Last Thursday night, I participated in a home dedication, the fourth home Habitat for Humanity home. Just wanted to bring that to the attention. Very well received. House was packed. And one of the neighbors took it upon themselves to reach out to the Collier family and invite her for coffee right away. So it was in front of everybody. It was really a nice event. So Habitat enjoys working in the village. They like our lots. Our lots are much easier to work with than some of the other communities they've dealt with.
Yeah, I should note also there are a lot of people who volunteer for Habitat for Humanity who are Alloway residents. Very involved. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening?
Mobile 2339 Oakwood Avenue. A couple different things with regards to historic districts. The historic designation issued by the National Park Service protects property values and property owners from adverse taking by the state, and that's very important for the people who live on Riverside Drive in the corridor we're now studying, especially along the Murphy Coles Estate. So a proper historic study of Old Alloway would have identified and possibly protected some of those homeowners who might lose some of their property rights under the current road that's being constructed. also, last week, I found it strange that the executive committee for the village board, which is comprised of a subset that was unbeknownst to some of our members, the executive committee and their external partners spent $75,000 trying to figure out if 16 homes in the Sunset Park area were actually qualified to be on the historic register. I thought that that was a bit excessive. Typically, it costs $10 per house to evaluate a house. So $75,000 was a shocking number. I don't know where that $75,000 came from, but it was supplied by someone. And so apparently, upon reviewing all the documents that I have, it is clear that the Wisconsin State Historic Preservation Office has a different standard for historic districts than the National Park Service does. And what I've been asking for the last 2 years is that the state make their standards comply with the federal guidelines. Frankly, I don't believe that the state has the right to change the federal guidelines, and they should have been following it all along. So that's the thing. And then finally, I looked at the minutes here, and it appears that I've been instructed by this board to appear next Wednesday or on the 17th of March for a mock trial of the State Historic Preservation Office, when in fact that's my mother's birthday and I can't be here. So I would suggest that you move it to the following week. But I still think that a mock trial of any of the individuals listed on that memo, memo number 13, is a really bad idea, and I've never attacked anybody individually. What I complained about was a state agency, and I never attack people individually because that's not the right thing to do. Thank you.
Mr. O'Rourke, just for clarification, can you tell me who the executive committee is?
The executive committee would be the people that met with me in private. That would be Steve. That would be Attorney Duffy, and that would be the former president or former administrator. There should be a record of that meeting that I had with them. I was instructed to turn off recording devices in that meeting, and I was not allowed to record the meeting as I requested. So that executive committee does meet in private. I'm not sure who's all in it. I do know that Randy was invited to attend that meeting, but he didn't come. And I know that Debbie was invited to attend that meeting. So I have no idea who this executive committee is, because the only people I know that were actually in the meeting were the village president, the village attorney, and the village administrator. And that meeting went on, and there should be notes for it. Thank you.
Okay. I think the March 17th must be a typo. Is that right, Brad? We're talking about the next village board meeting, which would be 2 weeks from today. And that's the meeting that you are not able to attend. It's not a Wednesday, it's a Tuesday.
It's my mother's birthday, and she goes president.
Okay.
The 11th or the 17th?
17th.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak this evening? All right, item number 5, action regarding resolution 2015-2, thanking Steve Neville for his 35-plus years of service as a street department employee. I'd like to read that resolution. Resolution 2015-02, Village of Alloway. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Steve Neville for his 35 years of dedicated service as a street department employee with the Village of Alloway, and honor Mr. Neville with a resolution in recognition of his excellent service to the community. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this third day of March 2015. Steve, come on up.
We haven't passed it yet.
Put your dog.
Put your dog. leaves or even at the same time.
That's a good
point. Thank you very much for the years of service. I enjoyed it. It was just trying to do something different. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Two comments about Steve. One is, we'll miss his snowplow.
Second,
more than we could ask in terms of snowplowing, between 1.5 and 2 routes at times in some of the snowstorms, does an excellent job at that. And then Jim Sigelski mentioned to me the other day that in all the years he could remember with our overtime call-ins, he can only think of 1 or 2 times when Steve was unavailable. So he was a stalwart of reporting when we needed him to help with all the things that go on around here, especially during the winter. So thank you very much for your service.
I remember Steve from before I was a trustee, because Steve used to get out of his truck and give dog biscuits to my dog as she would run out towards his room. And I think he actually gave a couple to my kids, too. They ate them. They ate them. I remember you. And he and the crew used to, this was before I was a trustee, before I was running, before anything. They used to, my kids would stand at the window and when the garbage trucks were coming down the road, and they would stand there and wave, and they would honk the horns for them, and they thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. So that's the kind of service to the community that makes Alloy special. So thank you, Steve. Anything further before I entertain a motion? I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2015-02. Is there a second? Trustee Rafter?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks again, Steve.
Thank you.
Enjoy. You deserve it. Item 6, action regarding Class B fermented malt beverage and liquor license for Fusion Foods LLC. Teresa Jorgensen. Is it Jorgensen or Jorgensen?
Jorgensen.
Jorgensen, okay. At 2222 Riverside Drive. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Genrich?
Move to accept.
Is there a second? Trustee Gast?
I'll move the second.
Discussion? Do we want to hear from our petitioner?
Sure. Yes,
Ms. Jorgensen, you
menu items.
Pardon?
We'll see what's on the menu.
The beer menu, you mean?
Well,
yeah.
I just
want to
apologize for my dress attire.
Oh, you look?
Busy weeks getting ready to open. So, actually, I looked at probably about 20 different restaurants in Wisconsin, and I chose Alloy for this trip. I mean, I've been wearing this for a while. So, we were looking forward to opening. We're going to go back to Old Mariner, because all the things have already fled. So, full service, having a fine dining with the restaurant. Anyway.
When do you plan to open?
Saturday is your thing.
This Saturday?
Saturday night, yep.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
You're aware of the corridor study and all the activity going on in that area with regard to
construction.
What the road's going to look like, what the, yeah. Okay. And the lighting and all. Lots of discussions going on, so I'd encourage you to stay in tune with all that.
From my understanding, it's about 3 years out.
Yes, 2002
for digging up the utilities in 17.
17, yeah. Anything, any other questions for Jorgensen?
What will you be calling the business, Mariner Supper Club? Okay.
Is this first restaurant for you, or?
My first home restaurant.
Anything further?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, we need you.
For dinner, lunch.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further amongst the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 13, discussion regarding the intensive survey information. Clarification. I wanted to clarify what was expected for the March 17th board meeting, and I wanted to clarify the timeline. I want to make sure that we come to that meeting with all the information in our hands in the packet. So if there's any information, especially from our petitioner, who has some allegations against the State Historic Preservation Office, that we would have those in hand. Is it the Wednesday before, Brent?
Yes.
The Wednesday before, when the rest of the packet material is assembled by the clerk, so that we can read through and discuss that at the next board meeting and have a decision. If I understand our discussion last time, it was the wishes of the board to collect information and to evaluate that information objectively as to whether the allegations against the State Historic Preservation Office are valid, and then to make a decision as to whether to move forward with either collecting more information or addressing the issue with the State Historic Preservation Office. As I said before, we've already petitioned to the federal agency, the National Park Service, to see if they had any advice with regard to this. So, or to put an end to it and pursue the issue no longer. Trustee Genrich.
Just a question about the timing, since Mr. O'Rourke mentioned he's not available on the 17th. I think our next scheduled meeting is April 7th, when we may or may not meet.
There's the election.
The election night would be April 21st, would be the next regularly scheduled meeting for this to be on the agenda, right?
Right.
Okay.
As my understanding, it was the board's wishes to make a decision at this second meeting, and if we have the information, we have the information.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure that the timeline was clear, and so that we didn't get into this next meeting in March and have this information for the very first time and have to kind of weed through it. So. Trustee Gans.
I have no problem with deferring, the information, until Jim can be here in at the April 21st meeting. And it's really not a mock trial. It's just, you've made allegations, or Mr. O'Rourke's made allegations, and we just want the information that backs those up so we can review it objectively to see if any further action needs to be taken, or if the board will look at it and say, we're not doing anything further. But I think, he should have an opportunity to present it, so I would be fine with deferring it until the April 21st meeting, and then taking it up then when Mr. O'Rourke can be present. But we'll need that information, at least a week or 10 days ahead of time, to be able to review it and analyze it, be prepared for the meeting.
Another alternative would be to schedule a special meeting in April, since we're not scheduled to meet on the night of the election. We could schedule a meeting that night, the first Tuesday, the night of the election, and this could be the only issue on the agenda.
I think what we might consider is that special meeting, but first would be getting all the information to us based on the original timeline. We'll have it on the 17th at least to review and see where we go from there. So we'd have at least a little bit of time to review and see where and when we're going to meet again.
That sounds good to me. Just wanted to make sure that we're all clear. I want to make sure we have the information in hand and we're not trying to evaluate it the night that we're deciding on it.
Right.
And my understanding from the last meeting is that the information is in Mr. O'Rourke's possession, so I think it's reasonable to have it by the Wednesday before this March 17th board meeting, so it's included in the packet. Unless there are objections, I'll suspend the rules and we can hear from. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who'd like to speak?
This is the nuttiest idea I've ever heard. It's not acceptable to call me as a petitioner for a vendetta that Steve has. So this is not acceptable. Now, if you are issuing a summons or a subpoena or demanding that I appear and I act as some sort of goofy attorney for your mock trial, this is the nuttiest thing I've ever heard. You cannot command me to write up an allegation against people that, in closed session with the executive committee, I clearly explained what the problem was. I went through the entire file with them, and they refused to release the notes either to me or to anybody else. So the committee has already met and heard on this. They're in Attorney Duffy's notes. They're in Steve's notes. And they should be made available to the National Park Service. But I don't think this committee has authority to issue subpoenas. Thank you.
Is there anyone else you'd like to speak? Okay, we'll take up the rules. Trustee Guest?
First of all, I mean, I don't think there's an executive committee, some shadow group that's operating all this stuff. Mr. O'Rourke made certain serious allegations, and the village did what the village should do. The village president, along with the village administrator and the village attorney, tried to set up a meeting to address your concerns. It's not an official body of the village of Alloway. It's certain staff representatives and the village president meeting with a constituent to address their concerns. So there is no executive committee. Secondly, no, we're not summonsing anybody. We're not issuing a subpoena to anybody. You know, Mr. O'Rourke's made some very, you know, significant allegations, and this board has exercised its discretion to hear you out. And we want to hear you out. I mean, so you can show up or you don't have to show up. I mean, but what we want you to do is present your objections.
Trustee Guest, and you address the board.
Sure. Okay. Then Mr. O'Rourke should present his objections to this board for due and proper consideration. It's not a mock trial. Nobody's prosecuting anybody. Nobody's summonsing anybody. It's just we want to hear what your complaints are and Mr. O'Rourke's complaints are in some kind of a detailed, organized fashion so this board can give due consideration. I mean, Mr. O'Rourke can do it or he doesn't have to do it. That's entirely up to him. But we're giving an opportunity to a constituent to be heard on a very serious allegation. And if he wants to avail himself of that, fine, we'll listen. And if action needs to be taken, I'm sure the board will take action. If there's no merit to the claim, then the board will treat it as an end. And because every meeting we hear that there's all these things that were done wrong, all these things that were done inconsistent with state and federal guidelines. We just want the meat to that and to be able to consider that and digest that. So that's all we're looking for. We're just trying to respond as a responsive political organization to a constituent. I mean, we want to hear what you have to say and we want to take appropriate action if any action needs to be taken. So it's no summons, there's no mock trial. It's just we're trying to let you be heard so that we can figure out what the appropriate action should be. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. You know, I mean, we're not summoning...
Trustee Guest, request the board, please.
We're not summoning Mr. O'Rourke. You know, it's just, we just want to understand where Mr. O'Rourke's coming from so that we can see if anything needs to be done. And, you know, this is an opportunity to do it, you know, nip it in the bud, and let's just bring it to the forefront, assess it, analyze it, and figure out if something should be done. If it should be, then it will be, and if it doesn't need to be, then it won't be. But it's just time to bring this to a head and get it over. So, I mean, that's my sense on it. There's no executive committee, there's no mock trial. It's just we want to give the constituent an opportunity to be heard. If he wants to avail himself of that opportunity, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine too.
Thank you. Trustee Rafter.
I have an issue with Mr. O'Rourke saying that the village president has a vendetta against him. I've been witness to many emails that have gone back and forth. And our president has always invited Mr. O'Rourke to meet with him to discuss things, and I think he has absolutely anything but a vendetta, but he wants to come to closure and knows we need to come to closure. After our last meeting, when Trustee Gast recommended that in the second meeting of March, we allow Mr. O'Rourke to come forward and present the information that he has that is proof of the allegations of tampering and so forth, I heard Mr. O'Rourke come up to Mr. Guest at the end of the meeting saying, thank you, you gave me exactly what I asked for. So, and now we're hearing that it's a mock trial. And all we're doing, as I sent in an email to Mr. O'Rourke, all we want is proof, because I, at least for one, will not go to the National Park Service and make a complaint against the state agency without any proof. So Mr. O'Rourke wants us to go forward to the National Park Service or the state and require a new survey be done. And as Trustee Gass said, if there is proof that things have been tampered with, if there has, if federal guidelines or laws have been broken, absolutely, we'll go forward. But unless that is, then it's a simple disagreement, and it seems to me like Mr. O'Rourke's just simply not happy with the results of the survey. So I would be fine if, first of all, I'd like to ask, and I won't, but I'll request that the president ask Mr. O'Rourke if he does intend, in fact, to bring information forward, and that way we know what we're going to do at our next meeting.
Anybody else? My preference is we've set a schedule.
Okay.
We're expecting information by the Wednesday before the next meeting, and that's what I expect. That's why this item is on, yeah, is on the agenda. As I said last time, I thought this would be the logical next step. For 2 years, I've been unable to get on the same page as Mr. O'Rourke and resolve this issue. So the next logical step is bringing it to the full board to see if the full board has a different perspective on it, since we can't talk about these things outside of open meetings, and that's exactly what I did. I think this would be a good thing, that there are now six more people listening to these allegations of fraud, and the word fraud was used in some emails, and tampering and disregarding federal National Park Service guidelines. Those are very serious allegations. I can't ignore them, and so I brought them to Attorney Duffy and the previous village administrator, and now we still can't ignore them. This board has a responsibility to look into it, and I think that's exactly what you're doing. However, it needs to be resolved. So I'm sticking to the timeline that we've set before us, and I just wanted to reiterate that timeline under this item to make sure that everyone is clear. Whether or not we vote on it at that board meeting in Mr. O'Rourke's absence, or whether we establish another meeting in April to discuss the issue, or whether it's postponed until the second meeting in April, which I hope it isn't, we're sticking to the timeline in terms of, as Trustee Harris said, in terms of collecting that evidence or that information. Anything further? We will move on to item 14, the transition to a new village president. As I think most of you up here know, I have submitted my resignation effective the 21st of April at 6:30, at the start of the next village board meeting. And I wanted to start some discussions about what the options are for filling my position. And so there are a few, and I wanted Attorney Duffy to come tonight to sort of summarize what our options are. And it's only a discussion item, so we won't necessarily be voting on what how the board's going to go forward. But I want him to talk about the options and then maybe talk about a timeline. Should the existing board be talking? To me, there are two issues here. There's the methodology that you're going to use to fill the position, and then the second issue is who's going to do it, the old board or the new board. And you know, my inclination's always been the new board. They're going to have to be living with the new president. So, but we can talk about tonight what the options are, and then is this board going to vote on which option to choose? So, Attorney Duffy, can you take over from here, please?
Sure. Thank you, and other than you, nobody's going to do nothing until 6:31 on April 20th. That's when the vacancy is actually created, so that's what the statute speaks to, vacancy and position.
So the methodology and the execution of that methodology, the implementation of that methodology?
Not execution.
Yeah. So if they decide to appoint someone, then the decision to choose that method as opposed to having an election or some other method of that, the methodology decision needs to be made on the 21st and then actually implemented on the 21st or thereafter. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
The decision will belong to whoever is in office at the moment your office becomes vacant. And from thereafter, that board has the discretion to either fill it by an appointment, which could be a majority vote of the then members of the board, or they could call a special election, which would take place in November. But your term of office for your position expires in the spring of next year. So I don't see why anybody would want to incur the costs of a special election for a very short, unexpired term of office to be filled by an appointment.
But it is possible, is that what you're saying?
It is possible, okay. Right. I wouldn't recommend it because of the cost in the short period of time of the remaining term.
I think if Debbie were here, she'd agree.
I agree.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said Debbie would input on what the special election would mean to her life.
Yes.
I've only had this experience that in one other community, and it essentially, after the vacancy was created by the death of a village president, Nelson McLean, and Wabash Wabnon. And what they did is they moved right to an appointment process, like the following meeting. One of the trustees expressed some interest. Everybody seemed to think that was a good idea, and they kept it that simple. But again, it would be up to the board that will be around at 6:31 to figure out what they want to do with it.
With regard to appointing, can they appoint anyone? Does it have to be someone who is an existing trustee? Does it have to be someone who used to be a trustee or has some, or is it anyone they wish? What qualified is, nobody knows, right? As far as age and...
I can only state it in the negative, is that you wouldn't have any convictions. Yeah, the other qualification that a person would have to run for...
That limits our choices up here.
Aging. No felonies.
Okay.
But usually when you're even filling other vacancies like trustee positions, the boards are typically looking at people that have either served or have an interest in serving and go from there.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward.
So it's either appointing or an election. Those are our two options. Or their options.
There's an option of leaving the position open. Date,
okay.
Which I can put it out there, but it doesn't make any sense.
I'd like to hear all options. Mm-hmm. The election doesn't make much sense either, but I'd still like to hear all the options.
The other option is to return the letter of resignation to the president and force him to serve out the balance of his term.
That really doesn't make sense.
That is not an option.
Because my election.
So the third option is to leave it vacant,
yes,
until the election the following spring.
Right.
Okay.
Not a good choice.
So you have a fourth option?
No, I like option four.
Leave it vacant?
No.
So a couple of folks have expressed some interest as far as I know. Trustee Gass most recently has expressed some interest. Do you want to speak to that, Trustee Gass?
No, I gave it some long thought after I learned that Steve was resigning, and was willing to undertake, I think, the challenges of the village president. I think I've been a trustee for 9 years, and I think I would bring a good experience to the role. And I'd like to, I've worked with Steve for pretty much the 9 years I've been on the board, and I consider it an honor to finish off his tenure as the president. I think the other advantage is I really have no intention to run again in the spring of 2016. So it would kind of eliminate that incumbency advantage, I think, that might otherwise exist. I'd be honored and privileged to fill out your term. I think Steve's done a fantastic job. And I'd like to serve the village for an additional year. I think the challenges as village president would be exciting. And I've worked with many of the people on this board for quite some time, or a little bit over a year with some of the people, and I think it's a very good board, and I'd like the privilege and honor to lead them, for a one-year period of time until Steve's, term expired. So that's pretty much, I gave a lot of thought, and several people approached me and asked that I consider it, and I did, and reflected on it, and chatted with my wife about it, and would be willing, if that's the board's pleasure, after after 6:30, if that's the board's pleasure, I'd be more than willing to serve the balance of Steve's term.
Trustee Rafter has also voiced some interest. Would you like to talk about that a bit, Trustee
Rafter? Sure. First of all, I have the greatest respect for Trustee Gast and have enjoyed working with Trustee Gast and the entire board over the last year. Not having 9 years' experience, relatively new to Alloway politics, relatively new to Alloway, as a lot of people know, 3 years. But I've come to love this community, and I'm very excited about the opportunity for going forward. Trustee Gast is, I'd be very happy to serve with Trustee Gast. I think there's one difference, and that's it's basically Trustee Gast doesn't want to run, he won't run again, and that's fine. I would want to run again. I think right now we're in a very exciting time in Alloway. We have the Riverside and Webster Corridor going on. We have the visioning studies going on. We have Highway 57 construction. There's all kinds of things going on in the village that will require a great deal of attention, a great deal of enthusiasm. And I'd like to do that. I'd be honored to serve if the village board wanted me to do so. I have my limitations on time, or I know what my limitations are. I've turned down several board requests or requests to join boards and other organizations because I know if I want to do something right, I've got to commit to the time here in the village. And this is the thing I'm doing. I love it, and I hope to serve as a trustee for a very long time. But I respect Randy a great deal, and if the board wants Randy to do it, that's great. If the board would like me to do it, I'd be honored.
I think we should also nominate Trustee Dennis since he isn't here.
if we could talk like Norm.
Yeah.
Or Cliff.
Trustees Harris or Denrick, do you have any interest in being appointed as the village president?
No, I do not.
No. So I wanted to start the discussion tonight, and then I, again, was unsure whether both the choosing the method and then implementing the method needed to be done by the new board, or if the method could be chosen by this board, and then the implementation, the choosing of the next president by the next board. But what I hear from Attorney Duffy is at 6:31 on April 21st, both of those things will happen. They'll choose how to choose a president, and then they'll actually choose one, right?
That's correct. Okay. The other thing I'd like to add is with the discussions from the interest of trustees in the position is that if one of those people moves to your office, then you've got a vacancy to fill in their position, and it's kind of just the same drill in terms of the unexpired term, depending on what's there. Method of selection, appointment, special election.
So they can decide all that night.
That would be depending. That would be a ripple effect of going into the meeting.
It's sort of why I chose this April to resign, in that it would give one full year to the new president. We'll have a slate of trustees that might be nice candidates for filling a vacated trustee position if a current trustee were to be appointed the president. So you'll have people there who are willing and able, as opposed to if I were to have resigned at the end of the summer, they might have lost interest after the April election. So But all that can be decided that evening, right? Trustee, or Attorney Duffy. Okay. I had one more question, and I can't remember what it was. Anything we're missing with regard to the logistics of this?
I think we'll have to think about a couple of different scenarios depending on what that board decides to do. If that person is selected that evening to act as president, I'm thinking that that person can begin acting forthwith, and if we want to be in a position to see that that can happen, if that makes sense, if that's what the direction of work is.
Right.
And we talked about it too, just for a transition, that with the timing of your resignation, it leaves, it's sort of seamless for administrative purposes, and it's a good thing for, you know, the village to have.
Right. Right, and we obviously didn't want to leave the village without a president for any period of time, which is why, right up until that meeting, I'll officially be in office, in case I have to deputize Randy.
I have my one bullet.
All right, anything further? Any further discussion? I don't think you can go wrong with either one of the folks who have thrown in their hats into the ring. I've been honored to serve with both of you, with all of you, but fortunately, I won't have to make that decision. That was my question. How is it done at the meeting? Is it a secret ballot, or is it basically an open session that you basically board members need to?
It's an open session, but there is one exception allowing a board to select the president or the chief executive officer by secret ballot.
So that's something you might want to think about. I mean, right, I don't think there are going to be any hard feelings either way, but it presents that, you know, you'll have to choose between two really good candidates, you two I'm talking to, I guess, and trustees Dennis and Dart, and whoever else is on the board, I guess. And so you might want to consider whether or not you want a secret ballot. Can you let us know the process for that, if the board... we're not going to be doing it until the night of the 21st, but if they decide we want a secret ballot, can you make sure that Brad or someone, Debbie or Sherry, knows sort of how you do that? You know, tear off a corner of a napkin, or, you know, the actual process for the secret ballot.
There's a certain kind of napkin that we bring in.
Debbie's going to be hoping for an election now. All right, any further discussion or questions with regard to the transition? Thank you both for your interest in doing it. We will move on to item 7, action regarding the noise variance permit request for Green Isle Park. Is Chris, is the petitioner here?
I don't believe so.
No, okay. Looks pretty benign to me. We've done this before. We had a problem with noise in the park in the summer, but that had nothing to do with a particular event, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that event. And this one, it's a wedding reception, and they just want to be able to have music outdoors of the shelter building, and the times are from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., okay. So it's not later than the evening.
Mm-hmm. There'll be alcohol there, but they won't be selling it, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Genrich?
I'd move to approve.
Can you speak into your microphone, please?
I can do that. I would move to approve the noise variance permit request for Green Isle Park 6615.
Thank you. Is there a second? Trustee Gast?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Aye.
You're not running the place yet.
You're not helping your chances, Trustee Rath. You're jumping the gun here. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 8, action regarding the bid approval for the trail connection. Is there a motion with regard to this item, or do you want to hear from Mr. Clark? Unless there are objections, I'll entertain some discussion before a motion.
It seems that this project has been looked at for quite a long time, and it might be the next project to be able to put the trail in. Last year, we had two bidders submit bids that were well above what the anticipated budget was, and this year, what we believe, because of the timing of when we had the bids being springtime, that we had six bidders come in, and three of the six, the three lowest, were right around what we had anticipated the cost to be. So, and the lowest bidder was, we were very excited to see that price come out at what it did.
In addition to the timing, are material costs down, asphalt prices or whatever? I mean, that's like 20% improvement. I mean, it's
time of the asphalt.
So, really? Well, then we're really fortunate.
Yeah, we all just believe that it had a lot to do with the fact that we're at the beginning of the construction season as opposed to the end of the construction season last year. And, these companies don't have a lot of jobs, set up yet.
Well, that's good.
Chris, is time of the essence? I wasn't in yesterday to pick this up, so I literally picked it out of my mailbox before I walked in here. I haven't read any of it. So do we need to make a decision tonight?
I don't believe we have to have a decision tonight. Right.
What's that? Brad?
The next meeting would be on the 21st.
The 17th.
No,
oh,
the 17th.
Okay. Could we take a moment to review it?
Right now?
Yes. I mean, to me, it seemed pretty obvious based on last year's experience and given that the bids are there, but a little time to review would be prudent. And we could deal with it.
Yeah, if it's not, I'd rather just take it home and fall asleep to it. And take it home, and especially some of the fine print of, I don't even know what's on here, my eyes are getting old. The bid tabulations, I can't really read them. So if time is of the essence and you need it tonight, I can ask people to talk away and I'll try to review as much as possible. But if it makes no difference, my inclination is to take a little more time with it.
Just based on the outcomes of us rejecting the bids last year, as long as that you can't make a motion that you approve it, and it's subject to reviewing it. But if the indications are that everything looks really good and it shouldn't be a problem, then we can start having the contractor execute the contract, because the contractor is the next thing that needs to be signed.
Okay.
So you do have a little bit of leeway in here. The actual bids came in almost $60,000 from last fall, which is...
Will we be getting the contracts at the next meeting?
We very well could be getting it at the next meeting.
Okay.
It takes about 10
so
days.
So I'd be willing to go... I'd be willing to go forward if you tell the contractor that the board wants to, everything looks good, wants to read it in a little bit more detail, because I didn't pick it up until just now. There's no red flags, as far as I can tell, to start the process, but there's still the option that something's going to go awry 2 weeks from now. I'd be perfectly willing to do that. I don't want to hold things up. I just want to...
I think it's important that, because if we end up getting it until the spring, because the execution of those contracts sometimes takes a little bit of time. So if all of a sudden we have spring early and we're able to take advantage of some time,
you want to have everything in place.
Parents may be so busy with the kids, it would be a great thing.
Okay.
Wishful thinking.
Thank you. Trustee Harris?
Two quick questions. What changes, if any, are there from the specifications that were put out to bid in 2014?
Nothing changes.
Okay. So we'll be reviewing same sort of, or not, we didn't review it before because we were too high. And then I can't tell easily from the drawing, will a painted crosswalk exist on Riverside? Or how will the crossing area on Riverside be designated?
There is a safety island in the middle.
I think it's painted.
I believe it.
Okay, or if we can just check into that.
And this, and then there will be the push button pedestrian cross signs as well.
I saw that. Okay. Thank you.
Is that the same as a hawk crossing? No?
No.
So that you press the button and what? A light just flashes?
Just like your normal crosswalk sign, you get the sign.
That oh, don't walk and all that? Okay.
So it will be changing the light at the intersection, or it will be flashing for a crosswalk area? Now I'm not clear.
I think it's going to direct or activate the stoplight, stop
correct.
And goal light.
Correct. And it'll have, you know, the little pedestrian person mm-hmm. in white or red.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Run.
I'm not sure if they'll have a countdown. And the crosswalk markings are.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a motion with regard to this item?
I'd be willing to move to accept the bid. And do we need to add on a caveat about...
I'd like to, yeah.
About studying the contract when it comes in? Based on approving the contract?
Yeah, so maybe the motion is to go forward with executing the contract with the caveat that a final decision will be made at the next village board meeting.
So essentially what we're doing is postponing decision on acceptance of the bid with instructions to staff to develop the contracts, and the next meeting on the agenda will be acceptance or rejection of the bid plus approval of the contract.
Yes. Does that work for you, Brent?
Given
Trustee Gimrick.
I was just going to add that given the next scheduled meeting won't be until when?
St. Patrick's Day.
17th.
Okay, then that'll work.
Would you like to make that motion?
Yes. Well, if I could restate it like I said, but that we vote to approve with the caveat of studying the contract for final approval, if that makes sense.
I think the wording needs to be we're going to postpone final decision until the next village board meeting, but authorize the village administrator to start the paperwork. And at the next village board meeting, we'll make a final decision about the bid.
Okay. And so moved.
And approve the contract?
And approve the contract, yeah. Is there a second?
No, sorry.
Trustee Gans, did you get that? Sure. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The trustee Gans just said to me, please. We vote to move next meeting to the Marlon. It is on St. Patrick's.
It was on my mind.
I didn't put two and two together there. It said that.
So I keep asking.
Marlon at 3 o'clock. We'll start it out. The meeting, I
mean. All right, now you've got me derailed here. action regarding number 9. Action regarding repealing and recreating Chapter 5. Again, unless there are objections, I'm going to entertain a little bit of discussion before anyone makes a motion. This seems like kind of maybe a small issue, but it's not. It's a huge, as you read, it's a huge chapter, and there are a lot of changes. And these are the kinds of issues I think that I hear a lot from village residents. You know, about brush pickup, and some of these services are Cadillac services in Alloway, and people come to expect them. And so I think we really need to get straight what we mean by brush, what we mean by bulk waste, and so we're all on the same page. So let's take a little time to uh, dis- discuss this first. Mark, is there a particular problem that precipitated this, or does it just need to be cleaned up?
Part of this cleanup and here were some minor problems. So about a month ago, I sat down with Craig and Jen Sogalski trying to figure out exactly how Public Works is running the difference between our his code enforcement officer enforcing stuff and then actually doing things. One thing we found out, people seem to be confused about the words, you know, we got rid of the word refuse. Jim, they agree that people understand the word garbage. They know what a garbage can is, the garbage. And when you put refuse, solid waste, all these different definitions in there, which just got redundant, and it was very confusing. One of the other things was Jim Gus was telling me that, especially about the waste, about the brush, to change the definition of brush, because he said to him, anything that's wood, as far as, you know, a tree or anything, they're going to pick that up. We had a definition of size. It's this size,
yeah,
they're going to pick it up. This size, they are going to pick it up. That's because if you look at it, it does say that. There's one that says yard waste, one says brush, and he said, just make brush anything. Tree is brush, everything that makes that.
So we'll pick up a stump?
They will pick up a stump. The only thing they will pick up is
the root.
Tree roots?
Roots.
Roots. That's it. That's considered yard waste because they will not pick that up. So that makes that simpler for them, because it makes it easier for the residents. Anything wood, we don't have to definitely, you know, this size, we don't have to measure.
Oh, that's nice. Does any other municipality do that? Seems like a great service.
Sorry?
Does any other municipality do that? They allow you to throw anything from a little piece of brush or a... Okay.
Green Bay and the Pier do it, but the Pier is more limited. They only do it twice a year. Green Bay does it routinely.
Okay.
Like we do.
It's a nice service that people don't have to think about the size of the branch. They can just throw it out there. Okay.
We really didn't have a clear definition of bulk, so we really want to put the bulk up there and expand on it to let people know exactly what bulk is. So, and I'll skip over some of the book things, but if you have questions, we'll make it fine. This is that big solid waste facility. We don't have a solid waste facility, solid waste treatment. We don't deal with that, so we decided to get rid of that. Okay. So that's solid waste, refuse, it's garbage. It's plain and simple. Everybody knows what a garbage can is. It's a little separate than a recyclable can and a garbage can. So they're saying a refuse can and a recyclable can. So, and I said bulk. Instead of calling it that, with refuse, we call it bulk waste. And actually, if you look at our schedule, the top of the schedule, it says bulk waste leaf collection, brush collection. It doesn't say refuse collection, so just get rid of the word refuse. And then put bulk waste in there. And we added things on there, of course, like we added those 2x4s, landscaping, timbers, cinder blocks, and things like that. Again, add that on there for the discretion of the Public Works Director or his designated, which would be Jim Sogalski, figure out how much brick they would pick up or cinder block, because it's a little bit heavier item, so they only pick up like 3 or 4, so that's going to be on the street when we make that decision on the site.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Sure.
When it comes to that, how do residents then know what they can put out and what they can't put out, if it's going to come to a day of kind of decision?
They ask.
Who asks?
I can answer that because I used to answer the phone.
Yeah.
We'd either give them Jim's voicemail, Jim Sogalski's voicemail, and they'd give him their phone number and he'd call them up and he'd go over and take a look at what they had and tell them how much they could put out.
So if someone just puts a cinder block out there, or 5 cinder blocks out there, we'll take it?
Right. Yeah, that size, I know Jim, I've been out there with him before, I've seen when he picks it up. That's generally about the size. They're just not, if he can pick it up, basically put it in his pickup truck to a point, They'll do that. It's not something they have to bring the bucket out and pick it up. They'll just drive by it, just four or five cinder blocks. They're just going back to the truck.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if that's going to create confusion or if that should be outlined clear, but if you think it's working,
one of the examples
working.
I would give would be like a deck. People would call and say, I'm taking my deck down. Will you pick it up?
Okay.
So Jim would go over and look at the deck and decide whether or not they were going to pick it up or if they could pick up part of it or...
Or siding or something.
You really don't have that many people except for... People in Winnipeg in the last week have just dumped so much stuff out there it's impossible to pick up. Most people put a reasonable size amount to be picked up. I've never seen but once or twice where people just put up too much out. And, usually Jim will stop and talk to them if they do, explain to them, you know, you can't pick up so much. Or if you want to pick up, we'll charge you. So,
in reading through this, I'm just reminded and how good the services are in Elway. There aren't many municipalities where people are putting just about anything they want out, and we're picking it up. As long as they're not obnoxious, and it's not unsightly or noxious or unpleasant, we're picking it up. And I know plenty of municipalities where they don't even offer the service, and if they do, you get, you know, charged an arm and a leg to do it. So, again, when people ask about where their tax money is going, this is something that I think stands out in Elway still, is the service. Trustee Hearns.
I did it, reading through her, I agree how many different services we offer, and I learned quite a bit. I had two questions. I took care of one before the meeting, just in a definition, but on page 510, waste on public streets, there's an addition of something called a scrapper. Scrappers are not authorized. What's a scrapper?
Good people who come by from junkyard people, just ride around the neighborhoods and start picking up.
I thought it was a piece of equipment or something.
I had no idea that you had explained it to me. I had what it was going to be.
Why would we not allow them to do that? Aren't they kind of performing a service?
Just in case you go with, we don't authorize them, but we don't stop them.
I don't think we make recommendations. There's various things that people ask us. We don't make recommendations on you should call this person for this. We might give them a list. In this case, there are several recyclers that drive through the village. They do pick up whatever they can find. We do try to catch them. Not that we want to necessarily stop them, but we want them to understand what the rules are. That you just don't, you know, you got to be professional. You can't leave parts on the road.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So we do watch the recyclers pretty close. But, yes, they do pick up. They see things, they pick it up. And
the way I read this paragraph, however, it says you need to be, no one can take property away from private property without being authorized, and then says scrappers are not authorized. So what we're telling them is they're breaking the law if they do that. But what you just suggested was they're not.
It's not that, you know, say you can't do this, and most of them are like, okay, don't leave.
Confused. I think in one sense we're saying it's okay as long as they don't leave stuff laying around, and then we're saying, no, it's not okay.
Well, I know we don't want them there because otherwise you're going to have a neighborhood full of people just drive around all the time. Because I know even, we had this in here before, it's in another section in there that you're not supposed to be doing this, whether we stop. Since I've been here, that was one of the things I was told that you're not supposed to be running around. And we catch them once in a while. Nothing bad, they'll just keep picking up stuff and stuff. They can't do that in those galleries. But we can do that in Green Bay, I said.
Oh, I would think they'd be saving us some work, personally. I don't know that
they're not supposed to do it, but we don't really go out and look at them. I mean, we need
that goes back to why have an ordinance if you're not going to enforce it.
Yeah, we do enforce it, but we're not out there just, that's all I'm doing is look for scrappers. I mean, if I see one, or Jim sees one, let's say, adios. I've only run across two, and they've all been fine, so they okay, we'll probably can look at and do that and we'll left.
So has it been the village intent, the village board's intent, not to allow scrappers in the
village? I don't remember ever discussing the issue, but we can surely discuss it now.
I'd say, hey, that's how they're finding work. If they're not hurting anything, if they're not, unless we've had problems with them, if they're not hurting anything, if they take stuff away that we don't have to then haul away, I personally don't see an issue with
it. Yeah, we have a long history of trying things too, and if it doesn't end up being a problem, then we'll keep going with it. So, you know, I can envision an extreme where, you know, every block you go down, there's a junky old pickup and some guy weeding through the garbage on the, you know, on the side of the road. And I'm not sure that's the kind of image. Or I can imagine if you're a scrapper and you're kind of throwing things left and right onto people's lawns, a little bit out in the street, that could be a problem. But it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't take that out for now. And if it becomes a problem and we find it unpleasant, then we'll address the issue at that time. Trustee Gass, could you turn to
it? It's one of those issues where, you know, you kind of wink at, you know, I mean, if they're reputable folks and they're doing an okay job and they're not disrupting anything or leaving a mess, it's one of those things you kind of give them a pass. Like Mark said, I mean, we're not out looking for them. And I agree with Jim. I mean, you know, in that way they kind of do a public service, you know, because they pick up things that we'd otherwise have to pick up and dispose of. But I say it's kind of a wink-wink thing, because you want to leave the scrappers are not authorized in there, because you might run into, you know, a fair number of people who don't do it the right way or don't do it professionally or leave messes or disrupt it to the... And that way you can stop them and say, well, you're not authorized, you know. So if we take it out, then basically it's a free-for-all. Anybody can do it anytime they want, you know, without really any guidelines.
Is it in here now? Or are we adding it?
I think it was someplace else, wasn't it?
It's someplace else. I'm not sure where it is. This is LA.
So we're not adding it. We're just adding it to a section.
Give me time. I'll come in tomorrow and talk to Jim, because this was a Jim suggestion.
I thought we were adding it, and if there's no,
that's what I thought.
If there's no problem, I wouldn't suggest adding it. I didn't know it was already in here.
But what am I going to ask him tomorrow? This was his suggestion, and I thought it was in there somewhere else. But I don't have stock strappers, and that might have just meant him telling me it couldn't be, and I hadn't read it.
When you say it's in there, you mean in this chapter?
It's somewhere in the ordinance, somewhere.
I can't
actually tell you that I've seen it, but I know Jim told me they couldn't do it, and I just took it for his word that it was in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I would
ask him tomorrow, maybe he knows where it's at, or find out why he suggested this.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what Randy's saying when you have to control it some way. I think we could find a way to word it in such a way that if they take advantage of our goodwill without telling them they're not authorized, then we can revoke that privilege.
Yeah, I think it's one of two things. Either leave it as is, scrappers are not authorized, and if somebody's not causing a problem and they're helping us out a little bit, then fine, maybe you don't go actively search them down. But if you got somebody that's bad out there, you can hold that in their face. Otherwise, if we're going to just make it a free-for-all and take it out totally, then I think you almost got to regulate it. You know, come get a permit, then our permit requirements are, you know, 1 through 10. You will not disturb the neighbors. You will clean up your mess. I mean, so either prohibit it and, you know, not actively chase down the people who are professional, or, you know, you regulate it and say, you know, nobody can do it unless you get a permit. Here are the regulations for the permit. You know, you've got to abide by these 10 different things when you're doing it under our permit. You pay a fee for it. So I'm okay with that. It's just I don't want to take it out totally, because I'm just afraid you get all kinds of people running through the village, you know, picking it up. Because maybe some people do pay attention and it's not authorized and they don't do it. But the second you tell them that you can do it, then you get more people out there doing it anyway.
Yeah, to me it hinges on whether it's in here or not.
Right.
If it's already in here, then yeah, I'd be less inclined to take it out. I don't think there's enough going on the information to suggest that we should make a change. If it's not in here, I don't think we should add it. I don't think there's enough information that says this is a problem and we need to add it. So in my mind, it depends on where we are right now. Trustee Harris, did you want to chime in?
Kind of second your thoughts, especially if it's already in there, I would lean towards keeping it in because why encourage it, for lack of better words? You've got something on the books available if you need it. So, again, that's how I'm looking at it.
Craig, do we recycle any of that stuff ourselves when we pick it up? We try to pride ourselves on being walkable, sustainable, relatively green, historically progressive. One advantage to allowing people to do this is things get recycled. And if we're just throwing it all in the dump, then an argument could be made they are doing us a service and they're helping with our sustainability efforts.
This really applies to new appliances and metal. That's what this really applies to, which are recycled. And typically, that's what the scrappers are looking for.
Right.
So if they see a refrigerator or a stove on the road, what this paragraph requires them to do is to knock on the door and ask if they can pick it up from the property owner, not from us, but from the property owner. That's what this requires. And this is in our ordinance book elsewhere. It was moved to this. What we do when we see a recycler is we do stop them and talk to them, make sure that they understand that they can't make a mess on the road. They got to knock on the door, they got to ask permission, and that sort of thing, just so that they know that we're watching. So when a scrapper picks it up, he's recycling it. If it's put out on the street and they call us to recycle it, we pick it up, it goes to the yard waste site, and it goes to our recycler.
So either way, it gets
recycled. One way or another, it gets recycled. Right. One thing that has been happening is that with our yard waste site now, where we have the electronics drop-off, and then we have the white goods or the appliance drop-off, we get very few calls to pick up either electronics or white goods because
bring
the
them
residents,
down to the yard waste site.
They just say, hey, Saturday morning, me and my neighbor are going to haul it down there. And so it costs us nothing, and everything gets recycled.
Okay.
So this really is just for those fellows that drive through on bulk week, and they do it in Green Bay, and they do it in De Pere, and so forth, too. They go look for any metal that they can pick up. We just exercise enough control so it stays clean. That's basically what we're doing.
So now I'm confused. If we have a process where you have to knock on the person's door, and so how can we say that scrappers are unauthorized then? We're saying they can't do it, but then we have a process for doing it?
This is the Sanford and Son ordinance.
That's right. And I like George.
I have a neighbor who does this. Who, you know,
those two things just conflict each other because it does say a person cannot be on the private premises and you can't pick up anything unless authorized to do so. And that's referring to the property owner.
So if I put a sign on a stove saying, take me, that authorizes, and I'm actually not being flippant. If I put a sign out there saying, take it.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree with President Van Den Oven. If it's in the ordinance today, it's in the ordinance. And it's like a belt and suspenders kind of thing, right? You have it in two places. But if it's not, I still say I don't think we should legislate or create an ordinance for ordinance sake if we're not having a problem with it. And if you have a concern, put some wording in there to regulate it. But if we're not having a problem, I don't know why we do that.
Well, if we have a procedure, you know, where people are supposed to ask permission, then they're really not a scrapper per se. I mean, they receive permission from the homeowner to take something away. I think where it says that they're not authorized is the one that they don't go to the homeowner and get permission, and they just basically steal it from their front yard.
Hopefully.
And then we should put that up.
Would that be like our junk dealers ordinance we have? I know there's one in the ordinance book called junk dealers.
That's for just kind of like
a shopping. Yeah, I think we need the recodification, don't we? I mean, if we don't know our ordinances, I don't know how our residents can.
The South Department of Fiscal
Even that distinction that our illustrious legal consultant over here made about scrappers being unauthorized, it doesn't make any sense to say we have these rules. If you want to pick something out of someone's garbage, you have to go knock on their door. And if you don't, that's not allowed. It's like saying, here's rule number one, and rule number two is follow rule number one. So
I sometimes don't want, they put it out there, they don't want people in their yard if you're coming up,
I understand that, but
these guys won't do your stuff.
But it's in our process. It says, look, if you want to take something out, you've got to talk to the homeowners. I'm fine with that. But then this statement that says scrapping is not allowed, because of course it's not allowed, because scrapping, you're breaking the rule that you have to go talk to the homeowner, right? So it's redundant, and I think it needs to be taken out. But anyway, what I'm looking for is a motion. Are we done going through the changes, you think, Mark?
If you all have any questions, most of it's just getting this and stuff, but...
I'm looking for a motion that would capture whether or not we have something in the ordinance or not. And again, in my mind, if we have something in the ordinance that prohibits it, let's prohibit it. And if we have something in the ordinance that allows it, then let's allow it.
Well, why don't we just postpone it for the next meeting? We can clarify that issue between now and then. In fact, I'll make a motion to postpone this issue until the next meeting to direct staff to determine where within the existing ordinances these provisions exist, and to provide that for the next meeting.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter, seconds. Discussion? I had just a couple of questions. In the very first page, 5-1, brush. Hard stem stalks from garden plants, parentheses, rose bush, bamboo, are those the only two? Or is
just give an example.
That, okay, so if we could just put an EG in there to make sure that people understand that it's including, these are just examples, it includes those and there are more. And then my other question was why you removed the size of the log, but you answered that. That might have been it. Trustee Rafter?
I just have one favor to ask. I've asked before. When we're making changes to ordinances, when we get the changes, could we also get a summary document telling us why we're making those changes so that we can come to the meeting or read the document with the understanding that this is what you're trying to get to? I would appreciate that. That would help me.
Okay, this is when I was up last January, the reason I did this, when I said I was going to go through this. Trustee Gard mentioned that she's confused with this. I'll go through it. That's about as recent.
But if you could give us an executive summary, that would be very helpful when reading through it to see if that's the intent and if we agree with it. Thank you.
I really like the change in collection time. That, people are putting their receptacles out the night before, and so they don't have to get up in their PJs and run out in the snow and get it out there. And so I like that we're actually, our ordinances are consistent with what people are doing. So changing it from 6 a.m. on the designated day to 6 p.m. the night before.
Is it 6 a.m.?
Okay, we have a motion and a second to postpone. Thanks for all your hard work. I know this is—it's kind of like the trailer ordinance, right? It's big, but it's big. And like I said at the beginning, it's important. I mean, these are the services that people really value, and so we have to make sure to all get on the same page. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10. Action regarding the zoning recommendation for Green Avenue Pump Station. If you recall, the recommendation was to recommend that a potential buyer file a PDD instead of rezoning that property. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Genrich?
I would move that we concur and or reinforce the Plan Commission recommendation to do that, to file a PDD petition versus rezoning.
Okay, is there a second? Trustee Harris, seconds. Discussion? Trustee Dimmitt, you have the floor if you want it.
I was able to attend the last Plan Commission meeting, and so we're privy to some of the discussion.
Hold your mic. Yeah, thanks.
I was at the last Plan Commission meeting and was privy to some of the discussion, and just makes a whole lot of sense. It's a unique property. Could become a lot of different things, plus nothing, I suppose, but it seems to make a lot of sense. It would give a potential buyer some leeway and some opportunities, maybe. There is some historical significance there that maybe could play into a potential use. So I think it made some sense.
Trustee Harris, you have anything to add?
Not this time.
With regard to historical significance, does it matter either way, whether it's rezoned or whether... Okay.
No.
Right. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 11, action regarding the 2014 Plan Commission annual report. Please keep in mind the caveats that the staff recommends removing the words at Webster and replacing them with for Webster Elementary in item 7 under 2014 accomplishments. I think the proper motion is to accept it and place on file. And
that's what I thought.
Proving the report. Anyone have any questions or comments? I'm interested in the second TIF. Was there serious discussion yet about that? I know it's under a future tasks and initiatives. Is there any area of the village where they're thinking that that could happen? And then I had a question on what's the qualitative design review process? And on page 4, item 2B3. Does anyone know what that is? Could you get, you can't remember, that's fine. Could you get some clarification for next time? It's not going to affect my desire to accept and place on file. I'm just not sure what exactly that means. And then the one right before that, determine how TID applications should be handled administratively. Aren't there guidelines in, that were from Ehlers that sort of, there are definitely parameters as to how we have to administer it. So that means on a more micro-analytic level, what we should be doing, or... Okay. Oh well, yeah. Could you have clarify those two for me, please? I'm sure there's a perfectly legitimate. I'm just not sure what it is. And I know this was a little bit of a point of contention, but we did all this visioning work, and the idea was that the comprehensive plan is a living document. The strategic and comprehensive plans are living documents, and they should be reviewed formally every so often, because you have to, but also informally to see if there need to be tweaks, additions, subtractions, what have we accomplished, and are there any plans to incorporate the data from the visioning session into the comprehensive plan at any point?
We'll be attempting to do it the this room was being used, so we're in a different room. Attempt to do a PowerPoint and we aren't able to do that particular time. So that's going to be a part of some future discussions. But the visioning that we did, the report that Mr. Foreman put together, I sent it to everybody, so we'll be talking about that in the future.
Was it well received by them? Did they find it useful?
Well, unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to really look at it that night because we were going to do it.
Oh, okay. That was their first exposure to
yes.
The. Okay,
right.
All right. I'm not sure that's. Is that in here? Do you see it, Sherry? Okay. I'm not sure that they might not want to include that somewhere of incorporating additional data, for example, those gathered during the visioning sessions into the comprehensive plan. I just don't want to see that lose momentum or get lost. I think it's good work. It doesn't mean that it has to change everything. It doesn't mean that it has to change anything. But I think it's good information, and it should be considered seriously as we move forward.
Well, it's taking that, the visioning and comparing it to, and going back and forth to see where it's consistent. And some of it is very consistent.
Right. That's all I had. I'm sorry. Trustee Harris?
I wasn't sure where the recodification process fell. Is that within the realm of the Planning Commission? And if so, should that be listed out as...
My guess is no. I mean, recodification involves a lot more than...
I didn't know which group
would head it
up. It's in the plan for 2015.
Oh, it is.
I missed it then. Okay, thank you.
Page 4, 2C.
Oh, right in front of me.
Oh, yeah. On chapters involving planning and zoning. Okay, fair enough.
I left that by it. Thank you.
Trustee Gaddis?
But the only comment I had in looking at the annual report is, you know, Plan Commission really deserves our pat on the back. I
mean, absolutely.
They do a lot of work, and it's so much detailed work, you know, and they make very good and sound recommendations to the board after really studying and analyzing issues. And it's kind of a thankless job. You know? They really get their hands dirty in all these plans, and they do a fantastic job. And as you look through the report, you see, you know, many accomplishments that they've achieved. A very aggressive, you know, list of tasks, you know, for this calendar year. So I just wanted to recognize them because their work is very, very valuable to this board.
I agree. I was going to say that as well. These people are working constantly on very detailed work, and many of them serve on other committees as well. And this takes a lot of time. And I'm glad we could offer Trevor to them because I think it was worse before we had an actual full-time staff member to help, you know, do some of the nitty-gritty work, but they're still tasked with a lot of responsibility. So, and I hope we didn't insult them by our, you know, visioning session information. We didn't mean to usurp their authority or to completely alter the comprehensive plan or to minimize the impact of the comprehensive plan. It was meant to reinvigorate, to reflect on the comprehensive plan, and then reinvigorate it and get some momentum going. And I think
the actually visioning survey is mentioned in the introduction here.
In the introduction, okay. But it's not listed as a goal to incorporate it into the comprehensive plan, and that's what I'd like to see. I definitely don't want the visioning information to collect dust on a shelf. I've seen too many visioning sessions do that and strategic plans do that, and one way that we can prevent it from collecting dust is to incorporate it into the comprehensive plan and keep the momentum going.
As well as the corridor study would be incorporated into
sure.
It, the visioning session information was sent to CRAPE as well. So they anything and everything that's taken place.
Good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments with regard to the... Again, great work. Even the introduction was very well written and very clear. And the questions I have, I like I said, I know there are answers to. It's just that I don't know what it is. I'm sure they do. I'll entertain a motion to accept and place on file. Trustee Genrich.
I would so move to accept and place on file the Planning Commission 2014 Annual Report.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris seconds. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Items 12A through C, unless there are objections, we will take the consent agenda items 12A through C together. Is there a motion with regard to items 12A through C? Trustee Gass?
I will move to accept and approve the consent agenda.
Accept and place on file?
Yes.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 15, discussion regarding the state's biennial budget. It occurred to me during the past few weeks that we often have a lot of complaints that when we're going through our budget process, people don't show up. And we're poised to let our legislature decide on a biennial budget proposed by the governor, his executive budget. And we don't talk a lot about it at this level, and a lot of those decisions are going to affect us greatly. And we've complained in past years retroactively about changes in DNR regulations, changes in shared revenue has been a huge one. As you know, it's been declining at a pretty rapid pace until this year, actually. So it strikes me that we should probably have these discussions, and if this board decides to pass some sort of resolution or some sort of recommendation to the legislature or the governor, or decides to write to our local legislators on behalf of the village, we should probably have that discussion now. So three items came to mind that I think we should be talking about, and I don't. It's only a discussion item now, so we're obviously not going to make a motion to pass any sort of resolution tonight. But I'd like you to think about it between now and the next meeting. And there are dozens more. We all read that plan for prosperity that the League of Municipalities put out. That the issues that they're focusing on, those are great. We signed a resolution supporting those. But there are others, and one for me is always shared revenue. In the governor's executive budget, shared revenue is held a level for this next biennium. So, good news and bad news. Good news is it isn't going down. Bad news is it isn't going up. But I don't think anybody's expected it to go up. This is money that, in my opinion, rightfully belongs to the municipalities. And the process is it goes to the state, and then they share back with us money that came from our residents. And we've talked a lot, too, about how the average resident doesn't realize where their tax money is going and how little of it really stays in or comes back to the village in which they reside. When you add in the county taxes and the state taxes and the property taxes and the school tax and the tech college levy and all those sorts of things. So a discussion of shared revenue, I think, is in order. I'm happy with where we are with regard to shared revenue. I didn't expect anything more. In fact, I was kind of anticipating we'd keep going down that road. The second is the funding to the universities. They're poised to take a $300 million cut, and that will, I think, inevitably affect this village, especially because we have such a strong relationship with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, who has sent us a number of outstanding interns. And these folks were, for lack of a better word, cheap labor. Right? They got a lot of stuff done that not only did we not have the time to do, we didn't have the talent to do. And they've been so good that we've hired one. You know, Trevor is a product of that relationship. And I don't think we realize the gem that we have in the public colleges and universities in this city or in this area. As you know, the tech college budgets are completely separate from the University of Wisconsin budgets. A lot of their budgets come from tuition and from local property taxes. It's on your tax bill if you'd like to look at it. The university budget comes from the legislature. So they're poised to, and I'm sure you've read about this in the paper, it's one of the hot button issues, but I do think that will affect the village as well. And then the third, and Brad, did you put this up here? The capital buttons is the county assessment or assessor or the assessment process. The legislature, the governor's budget has in it a proposal that assessors be located at the county level, and that those assessors do all the assessing for the entire county. And I don't know if you talked to Paul Zeller after he left the village, but he was surprised that there are very few people in the treasurer's office, and these people work pretty darn hard. And I'm just not sure this is feasible to centralize this and expect any sort of responsive service if you need assessment work, if one, maybe two assessors are trying to cover the entire county. I also don't like the fact that it's legislation in a budget. I think if you want to talk about structural change, that should be sort of a separate bill, and you should have arguments over that structural change instead of tucking it in a particular budget. It's what we do. You know, we argue about whether we should add staff or rearrange staff or add services or take away services, and then we say, well, it looks like we're going to add this service. Then at budget time, we'll make sure to put it in the budget, but it's a completely separate conversation, not tucked into a budget with all kinds of numbers and conversations about a million different issues. So those are the three that came to mind, and then I think, Trustee Rafter, you had another issue.
I did have another one. I have a question, though, regarding the assessor.
Yeah.
What benefit is that to the state to have the assessments done at a county level versus a local level? Why would that even be in the state budget?
I don't know if they're trying to save the municipalities money by not making them either farm out or have an assessor on site by centralizing it, but if that's the reason, or if that's the reasoning, I mean, you're going to get worse services, right?
Right, and if the local communities aren't complaining about that, I don't understand why that would be in the state.
Brad, you probably know more than I about that.
Well, a little bit more, only because I read it. You just got the paper tonight. I read it earlier today.
Yeah, inconsistent assessment results.
Equalization.
Yeah.
Some communities not staying up to the 100%. It also talks about if going to the county, it would allow the state to cut 39.5 FTEs.
Allow who to cut? The state?
Because what it would do is it would phase down the number of individuals working with the Bureau of Equalization, the Department of Revenue.
Oh, so the people who oversee to make sure that the values between are relatively equalized, and that we wouldn't need that. The system would kind of govern itself, right, if you had one office doing all of the assessments. They'd be, by definition...
They could hire someone to write a computer program to do that.
If I may, Thursday and Friday I'm going to be down at the WCMA conference in Milwaukee, and I'm sure this is the hot topic down there, is the entire state budget. So okay. Hopefully I'll come back with some additional information as far as the buzzwords are within the state.
And then the other example I have or question I have is regarding Trans 75 in the governor's budget right now. They're looking to repeal Trans 75, which has everything to do with the requirement to do bike paths and sidewalks when using state and federal money.
Complete streets.
And might be all for that. It would give us a little more control over how we spend our money. But I was talking to Rob Coles the other day, and he said, legislate, don't throw it into a budget, but legislate outside of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and then we were talking about the bike paths along Riverside Drive and all that, and I said, so what do? He said, get a resolution together saying you guys don't want that. If you don't want that, tell the state legislature you don't want it and pass a resolution. So, and that's another example of hiding things in a budget, yet it's something that I personally would look forward to.
Right. And I'm not sure how much good any of this does. You know, we could pass a resolution, we could write a cover letter, we could, but I just feel like we need to do something. I always hate being on the opposite end and the decisions made, and I haven't at least voiced the concerns of our constituents. Trustee Gass, please.
No, I appreciate this dialogue. I know over the years we've always been talking about retroactive complaining after the legislature's done something. I would suggest that, you know, maybe we make that just a standard discussion item in every single agenda, which is, you know, discussion concerning pending state and or federal legislation which might affect the municipality. I mean, if we got something to discuss, great. If we don't, that's fine too. But I think it should be a standing agenda item. And the Municipality Magazine is a wonderful place to create, you know, issues that we could discuss during that time frame. Because you're right, President Van Hoven. I mean, too many times it's that we complain after the fact, and we're never proactive when they're talking about it. So I think that'd be a useful dialogue for the board to have on a routine basis, and we can pass resolutions and or letters to the governor and or, you know, get our, you know, state assembly people and state senators, you know, involved in the early stages and tell them what we think.
And get residents involved, too.
Yeah, yep. before the vote started.
Speaking of the municipality, I have about 5 years' worth of municipality magazines. My office looks like a rainbow because they're all different colors. So if any of you want those, I can definitely pass them along. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Trustee Gass. Trustee Genrich, please.
I did check out at the last meeting with the DOT if Riverside Drive would be affected by a change in legislation regarding complete streets, and they said no, it would not, that this is already approved and in the mill, so it should not be affected if that were to change.
Even can it be affected if we wanted it to?
I didn't ask that question.
Can we ask that question?
I think it probably more so depends on how the current legislation, if it passes, to eliminate those requirements, how that's drafted. Because most times they pass something, yeah, things are grandfathered under the old rules.
But usually grandfathered infers that you can follow the old rules, but if you choose to do so, you can follow the new rules.
That's true.
So okay, we kind of want to know if it changes, if we can pick and choose between the old rules that we started under or the new rules under them.
And there certainly seems to be some flexibility with the current plan to either shift a sidewalk or bike path in areas that it would just cause difficulties for property owners or whatever. But that'd be a good question to ask, so we know exactly where we're at with that.
I know at the open house, the 19th, we did have an input that you sit down with Grave and share a lot of concerns with us. So I spoke with Grave today in regards to communications that they're having with the DOT, making sure that, and they sent some information to Craig as well, making sure that, you know, all the driveways and everything else are included. So the dialogue is there between Grave and the DOT, and, you know, gives us yet another go-to person to help us with how we feel the corridor should go.
You know, well, so between now and the next meeting, you know, think about these issues, and if there are others, you know, try to look through the budget. It's not easy to read. There is an executive summary, but it's at the DOA, and maybe there are one or two issues that we really want to weigh in on, and then we need to decide where do we bring them. Many of our local representatives already know about them. I too talked to Rob Coles a little bit, but we'll have to get their input as to where do we send it. Then we definitely don't want to do this thinking and pass a resolution and have it go somewhere where no one's really going to consider it at all.
The advance board is certainly taking a more active approach to this as well.
Do they have a new director? Or executive director or whatever Fred was?
I'm not positive. Okay. I'm sorry. But you know, a lot of the discussion takes place, and one of them was the assessor, the county assessor, who it goes with the pros and the cons. And when I was first introduced or first heard about, so there wasn't a lot of discussion available. Chuck Lemine was there from Brown County Planning. You know, he was referring to how it could affect their staff, which they don't have the staff to do it.
Right, they don't. They don't. They're pretty bare bones. They have Matthew, you're representing the village on that committee now. They do a lot of work.
Oh, yes, and they're losing people.
Are they?
Yes, they're because of how the budget's set up at the county level, they've got good employees that they just can't keep around. And that's been brought up probably three different meetings.
Really?
And I've only been going for 6 months, so half the time.
So, Brad, your meeting is between now and the next board meeting?
This week.
Okay, so if you want to just collect information on these issues, and if anything else pops up as being sort of a, you think is an issue that's going to be affecting Alloway that you want us to reflect on, let us know what that is.
Well, it's not only, I mean, I think it's a good idea to be proactive with these things and come up with policy, you know, statements on things that directly impact the village. It is important to get our elected officials involved, but it's also important, too, to share our observations and positions with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, so they actually have a lobby group.
Right.
You know, I mean, if they hear from us, I mean, it may, you know, bolster something they're doing, or it may even, you know, make them do something they didn't think about doing before. You know, if we find something that they're not thinking of.
Like the offender issue.
They don't always agree.
I think they agree. They just didn't feel like fighting the battle.
Disagree. It's
political. Anything further? Fair enough? A bit more homework for you, but all right, I think that's it. Is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Genrich, second Trustee Gast. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
Thank you. Oh, you're very welcome.